السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Once again, أهلاً وسهلاً ومرحباً بكم to this edition of the Coffee Express coming to you live and exclusively from the studios of Markaz Sahaba Online, صوت أهل السنة والجماعة, the voice of the أهل السنة والجماعة in Durban, South Africa, on this day, the 17th of Dhul Hijjah, 1446, corresponding with the Gregorian date, the 14th of June, 2025. Alhamdulillah, we just completed our segment on the Yahud in the Quran, and now we will be going on with our next segment called Straight Talk with our guest, Brother Ahmad Parak Hafizahullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Ahmad Parak.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mana, how are you this morning, Mana?
Alhamdulillah. Hope you had a good Eid.
Alhamdulillah, Mana. Very nice Eid.
Is there any information regarding, you know, new developments regarding our kafan and dafan issues?
Ji Maulana, on the early part of the Sunday evening, actually, you know, one of my very close friends, the Qaji, they were coming from Dandi, from Kurbani, and they had an accident near Marani Tor. He lost his 7-year-old son, which we managed to do the post-mortem on Monday, alhamdulillah. And the whole entire family were admitted into a hospital at Ahmad Al-Qadi. Most of them, there's one son of his has to go for another operation, so during the call of early next week. But other than that, Maulana, this is, you know, the very most important issue is, you know, as you know, the government is now tackling all hospitals where they're not going to giving, they will not be giving treatment to foreign nationals in the country. That is also going to be applied to the burial site of it, because of there is no burial site for foreign national, because of they do not have the normal work permit visas in the country. So that is going to be a problem that is going to be encountered by the community and the government here, because if you're not going to allow the funeral to take place here, it's going to cost the state a lot of money to return that body back to the homelands. So these are the issues that we'll be facing coming through now. So I've been just reading through some of the legislation that is coming through at the moment, because the government does not have money to service all these foreign nationals into our hospitals and also give them burial space, there will be an issue that they have to tackle. But fortunately for us, we, in terms of our Islamic Sharia law, that we recycle, they will, should, we wouldn't have a problem. We, wherever we can accommodate our foreign brothers who are here in the country working for us, we'll be able to assist them. That's the best we can do, Maulana Ji.
So this only applies to those who are illegally in the country,
Jee Maulana, if they don't have any proper documentation, they don't have asylum papers, they don't have, they're illegally in the country, so that, you know, it's compounding a problem for us as well, because, you know, our infrastructure only can take so much. Secondly, our funding is only based on a year-to-year basis. Yeah, also, so you know, you're now putting pressure onto our cemeteries and all the other components of government entities. So that's where our problem is coming now.
Now, coming to our local issues, there's some very serious things to discuss. And the first thing is, ratepayers in Durban are left to shoulder the financial burden of a 30 million rand legal battle involving the Itikweni municipality. Can you just enlighten us on this? Because we know that the opposing parties have come out strongly against this.
Maulana, what I want to do is I just want to give you a sequence of events, what happened in this matter. I think it will be much easier so that our community can understand exactly what happened. In 2028, we entered into an agreement with a service provider, call it the Dairy Double D Trading, so we call it DDT. We entered into an agreement. We owed them the actual amount of the claim was 43 million. So work was done. And the city has not paid them for whatever reason. We can't, they're not spelling it out. So 43 million was not paid. They issued summons at the High Court. The city defended it. So they came before they have always in legal matters, they have a pre-trial. So they came before a pre-trial and they said, okay, fine, we will accept 30 million, providing you pay us within 7 days, and that's what the agreement. The city had reneged on the payment of 30 million. They didn't pay. So the matter came before the court again in 2021. So when it came before the court, there was judgment taken. The DDT went and attacked some of the city's assets, which they defended, and then they said, "Okay, fine. Now we're not happy with the amount of 30 million, and I don't think you have given us the value for our 43 million. Therefore, we want to oppose this thing. So we are taking this matter to appeal." So they took it to appeal court. Now, appeal court, you have three judges sit there, and the appeal was denied. So then they said, okay, fine, now we take it to the Supreme Court of Appeal. Now, Supreme Court of Appeal, they take you before 8 judges. And that matter was heard before the Supreme Court of Appeal, and that matter was dismissed. So they said, now the city is saying, now we don't have any other revenue, other angle to take it. Then now they went to the Constitutional Court. Now, the Constitutional Court, it costs you a lot of money. So they went up to Constitutional Court, and in Constitutional Court, they're sitting before 16 judges there, actually. So they sit before the 16 judges there, this case of the city versus the Dairy Double T Trading, and this matter was dismissed. So in total, so the cost from 43 million, which was discounted to 30 million, another 20 million rand in cost alone was occurred in this cost. So now we're owing DDT for 53 million in cost. Now, the thing is this, the important factor, and Maulana, you will be asking, and the community will be asking, what kind of legal entity have we got in the city? Have we got proper advocates? Have we got proper senior counsel? Have we got proper attorneys who's got degrees? And we got in the city 72 lawyers. And the head of the legal, he comes before us, especially with the Municipal Public Accounting Committee. And we question him on all this. And I've been questioning him recently, how many cases are pending in the city of all the litigations that we can maybe come before a round table and bring these people, and maybe the city can save our money. Because we are spending money in legal because it's not their money. So every time a matter comes, anybody issues summons, if you're not getting service delivery, the best and the easiest way people do is go to the High Court and make them jump. And some of these cases, what they do is when you go before the High Court, and they oppose this matter. When you oppose this matter, what the city does is they give it to an outsourced company, an attorney, who's going to now oppose it. Now the attorney is going to make money, then he is going to engage a junior counsel and a senior counsel to oppose this thing. The longer he drags it, the more money he's going to make. And this is where our biggest problem, having 72 lawyers, having head of legal, and if they can't sort themselves out where we're going to pay like 23 million in legal fees, it's not on. Because now and I don't blame all the ratepayers association. They are uproar against this year. Why are we throwing away good money after bad? And this matter should have been solved. This matter technically speaking, Molana, this matter was false. They agreed on 30 from 43 million. They said, okay, we'll discount 13 million, give us 30 million, we'll walk away from it, and that's it. But the city didn't do that, and they thought they were clever, go right up to constitutional court and lose another 23 million. This doesn't make sense. And I'll give you one more scenario, Molana. About a month ago, a matter came before the Municipal Public Accounting Committee, before us, MPAC. A small amount of 3,650 rand. One account was not paid. This is for the Department of Health, City Health. It came, the amount of 3,650 was not paid. The normal procedure is any service provider, if you don't pay, Monana, if you got any service provider for your car you repaired, and if you haven't paid your bill, the normal procedure is he'll make phone calls to you, hey, brother, come and pay your account you're owing us. If he doesn't, if you ignore that, then obviously he goes to a lawyer. He went to a lawyer and he says, okay, fine, you know, this guy, the city is owing me 3,650 rand for service rendered and delivered, and they haven't paid me. So what they do is they send you a demand. They sent it to the Department of Health, City Health, and they ignored it for 3,650. Then they saw there was nothing happening. They give you 10 days to remedy this amount. They didn't do anything. They went and issued summons. Now, when a summons comes to the city, obviously when you've got 72 legal eagles sitting in offices there at the city, it must go from that department. We'll take it to the legal department and say, you know what, we received this and we haven't paid, therefore they have issued summons. They did absolutely nothing to do did about it, and they went and took judgment. That 3,650, Molana, it cost us on legal fees alone, 8,500 legal fees, plus you got to pay the capital. Now, this is the city we are dealing with. You can have the lawyers, you can have the best team. If you don't make sure that whatever is coming before the legal, seeing that thing is defended properly, and some cases you don't even have to defend it, you need to sit down with the opposition and sort the matter out, because we'll be saving a lot of money. And now that's where all the ratepayers, the civic association, all are jumping, because we are throwing away good money. Now, you know, that 23 million to throw away, it's a lot of money, Molana. We could have fixed a lot of roads. We could have fixed up a water infrastructure. We should have been doing a lot of things with this money. And this is where our problem is, Molana.
Now, you know, when the public reads about things like this, they hear about things like this, and the first thing that comes to mind is the attitude of our city people. They are owing money. Why are they, you know, playing so hard to pay, and even denying that this falls under category of fruitless expenditure? You know, the first thing that comes to mind is that we have people who are not capable of running the city, and that attitude that they have. Yet when people are owing them money, you know, if you're owing for water, they'll just cut off your water. You're owing for lights, they'll just cut off your lights. But they are also not prompt in making payment to people whom they owe money. They want to go to court when they know that they do owe money. So isn't this fruitless expenditure also?
100%. Molana, but the problem is we face with, you know, we got people, they are arrogant. Now, when you get a person who is arrogant, like if he's a hotshot lawyer and he's a city lawyer and he's head of the legal, he thinks he knows it all. He went to standard 14 and we went to standard 8. That's what it means. So the problem is, the issue is, if you get guys like that who don't want to listen, who can, you know, can sort this matter, take legal opinion from somebody senior and say, you know what, this is it, what do we do? They could have solved these problems. Now, who is suffering? The community suffers, and we are paying the bills of all these legal matters are going before court. And for them, they're giving this work to their own family, friends, and who's got a legal legal entity, they're giving it to their lawyer, their connections and all that. And that's where they make money out of it. And that's where our biggest problem is. We shouldn't be giving any matter. This thing should have been come before an arbitration where you can solve these matters out. How many cases I have solved out in the last couple of months? I had a friend of mine who's doing, he's got big buildings in Durban and surrounding, you know, you're putting signage, and they came and nailed him for signage, and they rate code you. Now they pay you. You have to now pay more rate and because of you haven't complied in terms of the actual sizing of the signage and everything. And we went to the city and we had a meeting with the legal and we finalized it. And it was in high court. And you know how much of money we save in legal fees alone, because we have to get senior counsel. Senior counsel today, Molana, is in the region of anything from 30 to 50,000 rand a day they charge, depending on who you take and go. So these are the problems the city needs. I think, yes, and I don't blame the ratepayers association, the city. They must hold the city manager liable and the head of legal liable for this amount. They must pay. That is only when you start doing that, then everybody else is going to wake up. The other officials in the city will wake up. Because at the end of the day, we are throwing away good money. We are paying and paying for things we shouldn't be paying.
Like we have Reverend Tulasizwe Buthelezi, the MSC for Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. He called on the municipality to recover the money from the officials involved in causing the wasteful expenditure. Now, this is the part to go, that those who caused it, they are the ones who must be paying up. You think the city is going to take such advice?
Morana, yeah, the pressure is on the city, because now the national government is seeing through all these things that were rot at the moment. Now, they have already implemented From the provincial government, three people are here in our city, are overseeing to everything else. And I think now national government can see that we are throwing away good money after bad. So they'll have to intervene here, because or they must take the city manager out, the legal, the head of legal, and go through the whole city and start cleaning it up. Because at the end of the day, the budget is going to kick on the 1st of July, 70 billion. And if you're not going to use that money properly, we're going to start, you know, we're going to be throwing away good money. And you know, with the Section 36, it gives them carte blanche to go and do whatever they want. So that's also, it's a problem. We're saying the Section 36 should be limited to about 10,000 rands only, and anything above that must go and get proper endorsements before they spend the money. So that's where our biggest problem is. The city has got money. We can get revenue is coming in, but they're throwing it away into things that they shouldn't be throwing. And if you look at what it comes before MPAC, you know, how much of money we're writing off on a month-to-month basis, and the Auditor General can only do one thing, Molana, is to give a report to the city to say, you know what, take all this into consideration, that this is all the wrong thing, and it comes before us. The money is already gone. How do you recover that money when it's already gone? And that company, these are small guys, and they gave it to subcontractors. Now, that subcontractor gave it to another subcontractor. Now, by the time you go and look for them, where you fire ever seen, Molana, you get a heavy wind, a block building, the building with proper block with cement, the whole building comes down. I just can't fathom that. I cannot understand how a building like that can come down. I know in the old days we built our, you know, block build houses and, you know, outbuildings or whatever we did, and that thing is still standing up to today, but I can't see how you can put a two-bedroom house and the whole building comes down.
Yeah, I've also witnessed this years ago in a place called Molweni, and when Christians were asked, it was said that there was more sand than cement in the mixture. So, you know, a strong wind brought the building down.
It's unbelievable. Molana, you can, you know, now, this week we had that heavy wind, and I was shocked that I had one, two calls, and all, he said, in Tonga, one whole house came down. Now, how can a proper house was recently built and their house came down. I can't understand that, really. So this is, you know, we this city, you know, we must make laugh shukar, alhamdulillah. This city, we got everything, you know, right of religion, right of culture. We just need the right leaders in the city, and I'm telling you, we can get everything right, you know. We can bring it back to the glory days where this city was the third best city in the world.
Now, one of the articles state that the former deputy manager, Subisiso Makanya, who through his attorney penned a letter to the mayor, Cyril Zaba, asking him to take action against the city manager, Musa Mbele, whom he said was liable for this wasteful expenditure. Makanya gave the mayor 5 days to take action or face potential legal consequences. Now, did the mayor take any action against the city manager?
Molana, from my understanding, is the letter has already been given to the mayor, and in fact he made it very, very clear in that letter, from my understanding, is that if he doesn't do anything within the 7 day prescribed time, and he's going to take legal action. And I know that he was one of the good city managers we had, and I think he's right. Because they actually worked him out, because he was doing a very good job in the city, and they worked him out. And they said, you know, if they don't like you, they take you out before you can take you. For Jack Robinson, Monday morning when you come to work, you don't have a job left. That's how the city operates.
Another big issue in our area, we're talking about Sydenham, Sherwood. Since Sunday, I think yesterday, Friday was the only day where we had uninterrupted water supply. Otherwise, for the rest of the days of the week, during the day for a few hours, the supply was being interrupted. Now, we know that even the councillor of our area states that water is emptying out from the reservoir quicker than it's filling up. Now, that is, understandable. But is there any action being taken now to try and create a balance between the flow in and the flow out?
So, Molana, at the moment, you know, you might be getting SMSs. Now, you know, the city is jacked up a little bit in terms of water and problems. They are sending you WhatsApp messages to say, as well as SMSs to say that, yeah, the reservoir will be working, yeah, this reservoir is going to be, all these people will be affected, and this is what is happening for the whole weekend. It will happen for the next couple of months as well, till a long time, because we must understand that our first problem we have is the reservoirs. Then the second problem we have from the reservoir, that water is leading into your houses and everything else. Those pipes are all old asbestos pipes, and that's where our biggest problem at the moment is. Now, you get your reservoir right, and you open your pressure, and when the pressure comes into those asbestos pipes, and you got a hairline track in 10 different places before it reaches your house, and that's where you'll find we got 58.8% of the water losses at the moment. So this is a long-term thing. We're looking at 2032 to get the whole city right, because they have to put new pipes from A to Z. Then only this whole thing will come right. Other than that, if anyone tells you they're going to sort the city out in the next month, 2 months, or in a year's time, you want to have new pipes coming and all, they're going to be lying, Molana. And then this is not going to happen. It is, they started, yes, I have been a lot of site visit. I went into the one near Sea College, that place is coming 100% right. And they're not using any imported parts anymore. They're using local parts and everything. So that is making a big difference. They started in Tonga, they're going to be, the reservoir is going to come right. So they are spending money in all the reservoirs. But spending money in the reservoir is one thing. But you need to, parallelly, you need to work on the street as well to make sure your pipes are sorted out, so that when the water flows, you're getting it into your house where there will be no water leakages and all that. That is where our biggest problem. And inshallah, we have taken the right decision. but it's not going to be a quick fix. If anybody says it's going to be a quick fix, it's not going to happen. Then I can put my head on a guillotine.
Anyway, Jazakumullah khair for your valuable contribution this morning. May Allah Azza wa Jalla reward you in this world and in the hereafter. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla grant you success in your endeavors to try and set things right in the city with your team. And inshallah, during the course of the day, you will receive your podcast. From myself, until next week Saturday, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.